WHCMN, repeater in Guilford. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford. WHCMN repeater in Guilford.
VHA mobile monitoring.
Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford. WHCMN, repeater in Guilford.
CHYNU.
Sure. guys are off to a training spot today in Oakland County.
Yeah, we're going to my Sims training for the county, so it'll give us a little bit more edge for the set, and we'll be able to use it if we need it. So.
Yeah, I think it'll help. I think it'll help you out. And once they give you a little bit more knowledge in it, it's good. It'll help during the set. I had heard that something that it went down during the last set, whether it was deliberately or not, for the exercise.
That doesn't surprise me. With the technology, who knows? But it's a good tool to have, and even, even outside of the county, whether it be a comm center or some type of emergency management spot, it's useful. Does what it needs to do.
Yes, it does. Yes. So I'm using it, appreciate it. Definitely, like I say, try to rotate them through and keep them tested and keep them used and that. So it's a good thing. I'm glad.
Yeah, for sure. That's the way to do it. Able to keep one of the, or, you know, hang on to one of the county radios, so I've got got a couple of DMRs at home, nice to have, just in case, you know, for deploying it or whatnot, it's good to have.
Yeah, roger that, I agree with you there. I don't know if things ever work out, might end up trying to use that second foul thing for like ACRS or WinLink or something. You just have to get a connection and that for it. But yeah, look good guys. Thanks having the extras. Definitely use them and keep them tested out. Nice to have it in emergency.
That work out pretty well if you can get that hooked up to APRS or something like that to use. Be good to do.
NAWCD. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. We'll have to, I don't know, have to schedule something here. We'll see what happens and take it from there. But at least, like I say, voice or some type of digital or electronic would be pretty cool. But like I say, you can kind of use them at random. And I've got the shorter antenna on this radio today. I've been using the longer one with Fulton County, their DMR. So trying it out for today.
It seems to work pretty good on the DMR, at least on my personal DMR radio. The stubby works a little bit better, the rubber duck works a little bit better than the lip antenna, so I don't know, it's weird, but that's, I guess, just how the radio's set up.
Yeah, and that's it, and with the UHF too, usually like a stubby or smaller antenna for UHF, especially your heater is goes by like that. It works out really well.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, we'll see. We'll keep trying things out. I might invest in another antenna, but I guess you can never have too many antennas.
No, that's true. And again, there's always potentially what breaks or something to happen. Somebody needs another antenna. Again, it's one of those things that having a good supply and having a backup available for you.
Yeah, or get a little one that likes to grab antennas and like, no, can't do that. Stop that.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I'm sure he likes to grab it that way. Grab those antennas there and swing them around. Of course, sometimes the big kids do that too.
Oh, trust me, I know. I've walked in and one of my partners had a AC in his hand and he was flinging it around with antenna. I'm like, don't do that. You're going to break the connection. You're going to break the radio, and then we're going to be short HD and dispatch.
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes you gotta remember that sometimes that HP, you're in a call and waiting for the race from the car, that's a possible time to do that. So, that's not a good idea to just take those HPs along right in that time.
Yeah, that's for sure. And then they wonder why, you know, they can't get out. Certain areas, it's like, well, if you guys wouldn't, you know, mistreat your radios, they would probably work better.
Yeah, those radios get enough heat, that you can pass them on to the next shift, or, they're 24/7 radios, and a lot of the field, potential for dropping them.
They don't have any holsters to put them in. They just kind of chuck them in the truck, or they chuck them in the cup holder. And it's like, well, no, you can't do that either. We gotta do something to protect these radios because they're expensive. You know, Kenwood, they're not cheap.
saying it's a good possibility with the wireless signal there in your and the park there. There's a good possibility there that it's causing some interference at times. Sometimes, like I say, I wonder if the corridor here causes any issues on my transmissions. Sometimes I get like a static signal that's constant on the Land Cruiser repeater, so it's a good possibility on your end.
Well, funny you say that, because it's on their channel, so that actually might be the repeater then, actually. Thinking about it then, because if you're saying it's on Lance Cruz repeater, it could be just the repeater.
It's possible there. So, yeah, that's really what I have issues with here. I think somebody was talking about it. It was on the double nickel net the other night. A few weeks ago, they were talking about interference. That's really one on this end causes issue. But again, I just turn it off if I'm listening, unless there's a piezo going there.
I'll skip the channel if I go in and I go into the system and just skip the channel when I can. That way, because I know what channels or what repeaters are common for interference, so I'll just go in and skip those. If I want to listen on that channel, then I'll select it. But otherwise, I'd rather just not deal with the interference.
Yeah, I don't scan. For some reason, maybe I'm all scanned out, scanning from the years of work. But I just usually listen to a couple and just keep them where they're at. And I need to turn on anything else. I guess I've got another radio. I can turn it on in the background, kind of like the select and unselect type thing.
Yeah, that is the nice thing about the ASU and the ICOM is the dual channels I can listen to, and one I can just turn down, and the other one I can kind of keep it up and listen to. That's what I do with our with our channel, is I'll leave our channel up higher, and then if I'm scanning, I'll kind of have that on like a low roar, and then if it stops on a channel I'm interested in, then I'll just turn up a little bit and listen and go from there.
Yeah, and it works out really well. And what I liked back in the day, and you probably know it, you probably still have it on your consoles there, but if you press mute, it'll mute out the unselect channels on your Motorola console, and like it'll be stay for a minute, and then it'll unmute it. So if you get a lot of traffic on your select, you can just press mute, and it'll get rid of the unselect stuff. But it's only for a couple moments. So a lot of people didn't know that on the consoles back in the day.
Penetrate.
Yeah, we can do that with the consoles back home or back at work, but I can hit mute, but it'll mute the radio itself. I know the ICOM, there's a feature where it'll mute it'll do that like the Motorola's, where it'll mute that channel for a little bit and then come back to it later on at a certain point.
NAWCD. Yeah, there you go. Like you say, sometimes the mute features, like you say, if you just mute the whole radio, that just keeps the whole purpose of it. That's kind of, like you say, it's kind of neat on the ICOM as well. So there are some nice features there that these radios have, and you can kind of hear something lower in the background and just to your main channel and scan or whatever. Pretty cool stuff.
Penix.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty neat. I like it. Leo likes the mute button because when the baby's sleeping, instead of having to turn everything down, she just hits the mute button and mutes the radio, so that way she doesn't have to worry about waking the baby up or anything.
That's pretty cool. At least she's got a kind of a working knowledge of at least a couple of functions there on your radio. So that, like you say, that plays a big role. It helps out there if need be.
Yeah, it does. It does. I've showed her a couple other things with the radio, and that way, if she's got to tune into something. She can or whatnot. And I know the ICOM back, my base station one. If there's a weather alert, it'll automatically go over to the National Weather Service and stay on that channel. So it kind of gets a little boring. So she knows how to go back to the ham stuff and get it off the weather station.
Penetrating the bay like no one else can.
Ah, okay. That's a nice feature to that radio. Being able to get the weather, but like you say, instead of it running all the time, at least at least she knows how to turn that off. So that's good. That's good. She knows the technology, and it's good that she's able to do that stuff.
My wife's pretty smart. She's a good wife. I enjoy her, it's pretty nice. Like I said, like you're saying, the technology that's out there, and being able to use it. I like the Yaesu a little bit better because it's got more features, but the ICOM's got a decent amount as well. It's a priority scan and home channels and stuff like that. It makes it pretty easy to operate. The Yaesu, if I wanted to do APRS off of it, I could do APRS off of it, run like a geolocate or something like that. It's like they use GPS on it. That's pretty cool.
Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This.
Yeah, it is. And it's one of those things, again, what do you use it for? What's your needs inside or outside, in a mobile? So, again, it works out really well in functioning. I kind of have certain purposes that are used, the handheld and what those radios for. So again, it's just what's your needs, how it works out for you there.
Yeah, Micah likes it. He likes the technology with the radios. He's fascinated with the Motorola's and my B-Tech there for my DMR radio. But he likes that stuff. He likes the technology that goes with these radios.
And when he's comfortable, he'll be able to take his test and then really get his hands on it there. But that's good. It's good he's getting comfortable with the technology and how it works and that, and maybe putting the two and two together. Whenever he's comfortable to take the test.
Penetrating.
Yeah, he's gonna work on it. I think he's saying he's gonna try to add it to his school task, and then that way then he has he can study it and kind of make some actual time for it. But being out on the cruise and being deployed with me and Wally, setting up a radio for him, that really reignited it there for him. So Oh, that sounds great, yeah. And again, you know, GMRS is a good door into it, and but again, you know, there's a lot more that, you know, that you can do via amateur radio. And so, again, it's a good, you know, I look at Citizen's Band back in the day. Yeah, people make fun of it a little bit, but, you know, hey, it opens the door and gets you comfortable with using the equipment and the frequencies and so forth, and it's definitely a good way to go. It is. It's, you know, it's a good icebreaker, you know, get you out there on the radio and, you know, used to talking on the radio and, you know, and learning, like you said, learning the frequencies. It is a good starting point, I think, and still pretty useful. As long as there's a repeater somewhere around for GMRS, it's a good way to go. It's a good way to start out.
Well, too, and knowing the difference, you know, of what you can do with a, you know, with a repeater and Simplex. Again, you know, he probably saw that in action too. You know, you guys using it there on the Dream Cruise. So again, that just is another, it expands that knowledge of what your radio can do, what it can't. You know, getting familiar with it, you know, understanding the difference, you know, hey, you know, CB is 11 centimeters, whereas, you know, GMRS is 70 centimeters. You get different facets there of technologies that are available.
Penetrate.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, did you hear too? I was, I've seen an article. I haven't read the full thing yet, but I was reading that they introduced a VHF channel for GMRS.
In fact, I saw a video on that the other night, and that sounds like an interesting prospect there. Again, there's differences, you know, between low band VHF and, UHF, what it's currently on. But again, it's a foot in the door. I've heard it could possibly use a repeater, or Simplex. But again, these other services are good to have. MERS, different services that are available. Of course, again, where ham can use a lot of technologies, a lot of power in that. And I think somebody's here.
Penetrates.
Yeah. Perfect. I'm almost there. I'm Saul in 19 Mile Road, so I'm real close.
Ah, gotcha. Well, I'm going to go out and meet Mike out here, but hey, we'll see you in a few minutes there. Good talking with you. 73 is there, son. Talk to you here soon. And hey, WCB is clear on your final.
Sounds good, yeah. Sounds good. We'll see you in a couple minutes. 73 is here. KYNU, please.
Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford. WHCMN repeater in Guilford. penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the W8CMN repeater in Guilford. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
This is KFAEDQ listening.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.